The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. As they were coming down from the mountain, the disciples asked Jesus, "Why do the scribes say that Elijah must come first?" He said in reply, "Elijah will indeed come and restore all things. But I tell you that Elijah has already come, and they did not recognize him, but did to him whatever they pleased. So also will the Son of Man suffer at their hands." Then the disciples understood that he was speaking to them of John the Baptist. The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning to you, and happy feast day of Saint John of the Cross. So I don't know if you know about him. Saint John of the Cross is one of the great mystics of all time. He's arguably the one that did the best job kind of putting into words, pen and paper, the experience, kind of the entire scope of growth and holiness from the very beginnings when we first start responding to God until gradually we become more and more developed in the life of prayer up to the very heights of mysticism. He was in the 1500s. He was a spiritual director of Teresa of Avila. Shortly after the time of St. Ignatius of Loyola, and so it's an incredible period in the church when there was this flourishing of saints just as Christianity was being split because the Protestant kind of revolution was also taking place. So there was a lot going on. St. John of the Cross, the gist, if you want, of his teaching, which is right along the lines of all Catholic mystical teaching, is something a lot of times we don't like to hear, because ultimately it comes down to this. If we want to grow in holiness, if we want to be men and women who truly learn how to love, it's always going to imply death to self. We always have to learn how to overcome any kind of form of selfishness. Anytime, and there's so many things that we think that are innocent, you know, a lot of times we'll say, well, I don't think God should possibly ask that. I have a right to something like good health. Well, frankly, first and foremost, we don't have a right to absolutely anything. If God made you absolutely gratuitously and gives you everything that he gives you, you don't really have a right to a whole lot in, between you and God. But that argument aside, what that shows, though, is whenever we have a limitation, whenever we tell God, you know what, I will serve you and I will love you and I will do your will up until this point, but once we cross whatever this magic line is, I have the right to say no. Okay? That's the problem that we have. That's why we don't grow in holiness. Because whichever, we all have our line in the sand that we tend to mark with God and say, okay, you know what, I'm going to be generous. I'm going to give you a lot, but I'm not going to give you everything. Okay? I think it was St. Ambrose that once said, God doesn't really care too much what you choose to give him. He cares what you choose not to give him. Because in the end of the day, he made us for himself. And the only way that you and I are going to find perfect radical contentment and fulfillment is when we belong absolutely and totally, unconditionally to him. And that means that if he asks us something difficult, that the answer is, "Thy will be done, Lord," no matter what it is, no matter what it costs, whether or not I understand it or it makes sense or anything, "Thy will be done," as long as I believe that this is truly your will. John of the Cross had a vow that I don't necessarily recommend anybody else in this church make unless you're really ready to to go there. He was, you know, he was in a religious order. He was a Carmelite. He had a vow that in equality of circumstances, you know, when it's obviously, if one path is clearly God's will and the other isn't, well then, you know, always go with what is clearly God's will. But in equality of circumstances, when it doesn't really seem clear what God's will would be, or, you know, it seems like there's certain elections where we have freedom of choice and God is kind of like indifferent and just goes along, you know, whether or not you have strawberry or vanilla ice cream really doesn't matter a whole lot in the great scheme of things in God's mind, usually. But St. John of the Cross made this vow, "I will always choose whatever implies the most suffering." I will always choose the cross, inequality of circumstances. And there's a incredible story because, you know, like all saints, he went through a lot of hardship. And it's actually kind of scandalous because, you know, back in the day when if there were, you were on the wrong side of a theological dispute, you would be like thrown in prison and punished, okay? So John of the Cross was trying to reform, you know, at least a segment of his order, and a lot of the friars didn't want anything to do with him, so they basically threw him in prison and maltreated him. And he eventually escaped because he discerned that he really did think God wanted him to escape, although because it was he had to wrestle with his conscience over that. Should I escape or should I just stay here and deal with it? He discerned that God wanted him to escape, which allowed him then to do all kinds of things for the next years. But at the end of his life, there came a choice where, you know, he was going to have to settle down once and for all in a monastery. And one monastery was with a friend where he knew he would be able to pray and be at peace and kind of live the kind of life that you would ordinarily want to live as a monk. He would be very penitential, but he would kind of do it, you know, get up at a regular time, pray, spend the night, do those things. And the other was going to be a monastery where he knew, if I go there, they literally are going to kill me. And he went there. And eventually he didn't live a long life. I mean, they treated him badly enough that his life was not very long after that. And he went there, he was true to his vow. Now again, I don't really recommend anyone try to go necessarily, unless you have a very exceptional calling, not recommending that for the rank and file, but there's something to it. There's a lesson to be learned. When we are willing to say, God, I'm gonna give you a blank check, and if possible, I am willing to offer up whatever is most difficult according to my circumstances as a gift of love to you in order to be absolutely radically available. If we make that kind of a promise to God, I guarantee you'll have a very difficult life. You'll have also a very fruitful life. You will make a mark. You will grow holy. And in the end, it'll all be worth it. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.